Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christian life is a life of waiting. Ever since Ascension Day, when the angels came and told Jesus' disciples that he would return one day in the same way they saw him go up into heaven, Christians have been looking up to the skies, awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom, of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us into death, so that we might live forever by his side, risen from the dead. Forgiven, cleansed of our sins by his blood alone, filled with joy, like a bride who is whisked away by her bridegroom to begin their married life together. But he didn't say when he was coming, except for the relative statement, soon. Generation after generation after generation of Christians have spent their entire lifetime waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. We too have reached the end of another church year, another year of watching and waiting, and still the bridegroom hasn't come. And now we're about to begin another church year next Sunday. Maybe this will be the year when he comes. Or maybe it won't. The key then is to be prepared for the coming of Christ any moment, even today if he comes, and prepared if he delays another year, or 20, or 50, or 80. You may reach the end of your earthly life, and still he won't have come. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for the long haul of waiting? The five foolish virgins in Jesus' parable were prepared for a swift arrival of the king, of the bridegroom, but not for a delayed arrival. They were eager to meet him. They went out with their lamps to wait just like the other five. They were ready to meet him for a while. But they failed to think about, they failed to prepare for such a long delay. The night grew longer. And even then, as they waited, these five foolish virgins didn't begin to think, "He's taken a long time. We didn't bring any extra oil along. What should we do?" They just didn't think about it at all. And so it never struck them that they hadn't thought to bring an extra supply of oil along with them. It grew late. They fell asleep, unconcerned about the state of their lamps, oblivious to their own folly. The five wise virgins were prepared for the bridegroom to come swiftly, or if he delayed until midnight, they were prepared. And this is what made them wise. They took the bridegroom seriously. And so they took seriously what they needed to meet him, which was oil for their lamps if he should delay. They thought about it. They calculated how much they might need and made their plans accordingly, so that no matter when the bridegroom came, they would be sure to have working lamps so that they could go out to meet him and join the joyful procession into the wedding hall together with him. Now, as those 10 virgins walked out together to prepare to meet the bridegroom on that night, do you suppose that somehow the five wise virgins were hiding that extra vessel full of oil from the other five so that they wouldn't see? course not. They must have known that their companions had taken extra oil along with them. It just didn't matter to them. In fact, the foolish ones may have even thought that the five wise were the foolish ones for all the extra precautions they took and the extra baggage they were carrying along with them. A waste of time and money and effort. They surely wouldn't need it. But when the cry came at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then it was clear who the wise ones were and who the foolish. But then it was too late for the foolish virgins to do anything about it. Too late to go and get more oil. Too late to relight their lamps. Too late to join the wedding procession. They tried to come late to the wedding hall. "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." "Watch therefore," Jesus says, "for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Will you listen to Jesus' warning? Will you take him seriously? Will you be wise? Who are the foolish virgins who waited for the bridegroom with no extra oil for their lamps? They are Christians. Christians. And not even those who in the name of Christ preach false doctrines and as wolves in sheep's clothing go around telling lies in God's name to lead God's people into false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. These are regular Christians who are baptized, who start out eager for Christ to come, trusting in him. And they may spend years going to church with the flame of faith burning in their hearts with zeal for the Lord and for his word. But time eats away at their devotion and their zeal. The cares and worries and pleasures of this world eat away at their devotion and their zeal. They begin to realize that this Christian journey through life is a long journey, a long wait. There are lots of obstacles along the way, including the sin that dwells in our own hearts, in our own flesh, and keeps us always fighting, always struggling, as sin keeps struggling to get out and indulge itself. These unwise Christians see their non-Christian friends or their nominal Christian friends enjoying life in this world, having fun with all sorts of things, some innocent, some not innocent, getting drunk on wine, sex outside of marriage, playing games, making money. They see their counterparts in false teaching Christian churches, rocking out to the band, giving touching testimonials, enjoying all sorts of fun programs and activities. And here we are out in the cold night, as it were, with only our lamps in our hands, waiting, waiting, waiting for the bridegroom who never seems to appear. Where is the excitement? Where is the emotion? Where are the results? They feel that the right teaching, simple gospel preaching, sacrament administering church is a stagnant place, a stale place, boring, always the same thing, always the same old Jesus. They lose interest, they fall asleep, and the flame on their lamp flickers and dies as the oil runs out. The flame dies The oil runs out. Zeal for the Lord dies. Faith runs out because they took it for granted. They assumed, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'll always be a believer, no matter what. No matter whether I actually think about my sins and mourn over them or not. Whether I keep going to church and listening and concentrating while I'm there on the word that is preached or not. No matter whether I pray earnestly to God for help and strength as I wait for Christ's coming or not. Faith is not self-sustaining. God sustains it. He sustains it by means of His Word as it is read, preached, listened to, heard, meditated upon, poured with water, eaten and drunk with bread and wine, and inwardly digested. God sustains faith in answer to our earnest prayers for His help and strength in our life of watching and waiting, of being prepared for Christ's coming at any moment or after decades and decades of doing roughly the same things over and over and over again. The five wise virgins didn't do anything amazing or earth-shattering. They just made sure they had a supply of oil ready for their lamps, ready for their bridegroom. So too, wise Christians don't do anything amazing or earth-shattering. They just take Jesus seriously. And so they also take their God-given faith seriously. They don't take it for granted. They consider God's commandments and how they continually fall short of His righteous standard. They keep Christ before their eyes and seek mercy from Him, knowing that they don't deserve His forgiveness or His love, but He's given it to them, and so they know Him to be a merciful Savior who was crucified for our sins and who wants even sinners like us spend eternity at His side, to seek forgiveness in Him and refuge. They know that repentance is not a one-time event, but the daily state in which Christians live, turning to Christ for forgiveness, turning away from sin and shameful words and deeds. Because they know that they need Christ every day, these wise Christians make hearing God's word a regular part of their life, always hearing, always learning, always growing, always feeding on Christ's body and blood. They pray. They attend services at church every chance they get, and they gladly attend Bible class too, if it's available and if they're at all able. They take God's commandments seriously so that they are always abounding more and more in works of love and service to their neighbor, always fighting against sin and temptation, always growing more and more into the image of Christ. They live a life of self-denial, which is hard, daily taking up their cross and following Christ, and they do all this because they know they are not worthy of this bridegroom's love. And yet He has given it to them. And so they love Him. And they know that their life, their true life, is hidden with God in Christ. So their whole earthly life is not their real life, not their true life. But they're waiting. Waiting for the true life that is to be revealed at Christ's appearing. Saints of God, we are in this Christian church for the long haul, however long that may be. Be wise. Learn wisdom from Jesus. The Christian life is not especially glamorous, not necessarily exciting, but it is fulfilling. And it is wise. Because we know that the bridegroom is coming. And we know who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us with an undying love. And who has conquered death for us. And appointed us, as Paul says, not to wrath, but to inherit a kingdom. When he comes, it will be well for those who are found waiting and watching for his arrival. They will accompany him into the wedding hall, into the new creation, the new heavens and the earth that Isaiah spoke of, and the doors will be shut. Then the eternal celebration will begin. May we be found worthy to enter there, only for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom, together with the Father and the Spirit, be praise and honor and glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.